Hi, my name is Jackie Marcel, and I serve here at Heights Baptist Church in the Children's Ministry. Thank you so much for joining us online. If you would like to connect with us, we have a Facebook page, Instagram, and our website, which is heightschurch.org/connect. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And if you have a Bible with you today, whether that's an electronic copy or a paper copy, I'm going to invite you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to meet you there in verse 10 in a moment. We have been in a series, and we've got this week and next week left. It's called Why Am I Here? And we are looking at the everyday purposes we have in our lives. Week 1, we said that we are all made for the purpose of loving God and obeying God. That's why we are all here. We are all here to love God and obey God. So when you start thinking, okay, how do I obey God in my everyday life? What does God want me to do? And we said in week 2 that God has loved us in order for us to love others. That's a purpose of us as believers in Jesus. We are loved in order to love. And then last week, we said that we are forgiven in order to forgive. All right, we are forgiven in order to forgive. Now this week, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, at this next purpose that we have. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Look at that word workmanship. Some translations will say that is a word called masterpiece. It speaks to an artist that has created a piece of art that we would admire to say, wow, look at that. That is a masterpiece. And that can refer to a piece of art. It can refer to an architecture, statue of some kind. And so I said, okay, what are some masterpieces that we would all agree? And we just look at them and go, whoa, man, that is a masterpiece. That is a work of art. So you see on the screen, one example is Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. Very famous painting. Boy, that's a masterpiece. How about this piece of architecture, Westminster Abbey in London? Sandra and I are able to go to London in October last year on our 20th wedding anniversary. And this was one of my bucket list stops because I could have geeked out in this place like all day long. Like, I mean, the architecture, the paintings, all that. It's like, wow, you just walk around and go, boy, this is a masterpiece. If you've ever gone to Washington, D.C., this is one of my favorite stops in D.C. It's the Lincoln Memorial. And when you're able to walk around there, you just kind of admire all the architecture and detail and say, boy, this is a masterpiece. Well, here's another masterpiece of mine that I absolutely love, that you should love as well. It is a North Carolina vinegar-based pulled pork sandwich with coleslaw on top. Like, you show me that, and I'm like, that's a piece of art right there. That is a masterpiece. And I just think of that, I'm like, boy, that's lunch. We just need to wrap this thing up here today and let's go get a sandwich, right? That's a masterpiece. God says, you are my masterpiece. You are my workmanship, that I have made you for a purpose. And what is that purpose that God has made us for? Well, I want you to look first in verse 10, that we are created by God. So when we understand what's this purpose we're trying to find today, we need to first see verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. When Paul speaks of this act of creation, he says you're created by God in Christ Jesus. He's not taking us all the way back to Genesis, to the original creation in which you are created in his image. Now, what Paul's doing in the context of the letter is he says that now you are created in Christ by God, and this is a spiritual creation. This is your salvation, that you are created in Christ by God. You are saved. You are born again. You are made new. And so I want you to look at the flow of the chapter with me at the beginning of verse 1, and notice how Paul is really showing us who we were, how we're saved, and who we are in Christ. So I want you to see first who we were. In verses 1 through 3, this is Paul's description of who you were before you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He says in verse 1, you were dead and the trespasses and sins. And once you once walked according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So Paul says, before you were saved, before you were redeemed, before you were born again, this is who you were before Christ. Now understand, that's who you were before Jesus. But let me say, there may be some of you in here this morning or watching online that you have yet to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then understand, this is who you are right now. That you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are living according to the world, and you are obeying and trying to obey your flesh. That your God is not the God who has physically made you, but you are worshiping some type of idol within your life that you are seeking fulfillment in that will continue to fail you. So if you're not a believer in Jesus yet, this verses 1-3, this is who you are currently. But understand, this is not who God wants you to be. That's why he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, into this world to die on a cross for our sin, because he says, I don't want you in this state. I want you alive together with me throughout all of eternity. And so if that's you this morning, then later in our service, we're going to give you an opportunity to say, I want to be in Christ. I want to be a believer. So now I can say, this is who I once was, not who I am. I have found life in Jesus, because I want you to see how that life is found in Christ. In verses 4-6, Paul writes, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says. You were dead before Christ. Now you are alive in Christ. And that's through God's love for you, his grace for you. Look in verse 5. He has made us alive together with Christ. This is the work of God in our lives. And so then Paul wraps up in verses 8 and 9 and shows us how that salvation happens. He says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So Paul says, okay, here's who you were before you came to know Jesus. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God has made you alive together with Christ through his grace, not of your own work, but his own work, so that we're not boasting in ourselves, but we're boasting in Christ. But aren't there a lot of people, and maybe this may be struggle you're having today as well, where you think, but wait a minute, I can probably earn my salvation. Like, there's so many people sometimes they think, all right, if I'm maybe good enough, if I'm moral enough, if I try hard enough, like I'll balance out the scales of good and bad in my life. You know, I can just be moral enough and good enough and try hard enough. And if I just do those things, then maybe, just maybe, I'll do enough good to outweigh the bad. Well, think about it this way. If you had a dead apple tree in your backyard, and you just had a dead apple tree in your backyard, and you say, you know what, I want some apples. So you go to the grocery store and you buy new apples, and you put them on the dead apple tree. Did that make that tree alive? No. Like, if you saw your neighbor doing that, you'd be like, hey, Joe, that makes no sense. What are you doing? Well, I've got this apple tree that's dead, and I want apples, so I'm just going to put apples on the apple tree. And then my apple tree's alive. No, it's still dead, Joe. But that's what the argument we're making from Scripture, that you are dead spiritually, and there's no amount of good works that you ever can do that's now going to make you spiritually alive in Christ. Something outside of you has to happen inside of you, and that's the work of God. So what does Paul say? What is our responsibility in that? It's by faith. We by faith trust in Christ that salvation is this gift in which we receive. So now in this gift that we receive, Paul then in verse 10 says, you are God's workmanship. You have been created in Christ Jesus. You now have this spiritual life that he has brought to you. But why has he done that? Why has he saved you? Why are you created? Well, notice the second part of this. You're created for a purpose. You are saved for a purpose, and that is to do good works. That's your purpose this morning. You are saved to serve others. Right? This is when you think of your salvation in Christ, that's not the end of you. That's the beginning of you. You're now this new creation in Christ. And God says, I've saved you for a purpose to go out and serve others. Because notice what he says. You're his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. So we need to just kind of back up, make sure we're all on the same page. It's not our good works that save us. It's the work of Christ. But our good works display what's happened on the inside. So our good works doesn't bring salvation, it shows salvation. The Reformers said it this way, faith alone justifies, but faith that justifies is never alone. One commentator, when I was looking at it this way this week, said it this way on the verse, the instinct of one who has new life is to do good works at home, at work, and everywhere for the glory of God. So our good works does not bring salvation. Our good works is the fruit of that salvation. We're that alive apple tree now producing apples, right? So Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5:16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It says in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Titus 2:14, he who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Right? So your purpose is you are saved to serve. But what if you sit there this morning and say, well, wait a minute. I don't want to serve people. I don't want to do that. I don't really like people. I have no desire to serve anyone in my life. What if that's you this morning? I mean, as you're moving through this message, what if that's in your heart? What if that's in your head today as you hear that you are saved for the purpose of serving others, and your pushback right now is like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve people. I don't like people at all. Then I'm going to gently encourage you to go back to verses 1-3 and to examine within your heart, are you really a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you really spiritually alive? Or are you just putting apples on a dead tree? Because here's the thing that Paul is building this argument, that the New Testament builds the argument, is the proof of our salvation is never in a time in which we made a solitary decision to follow Christ. The proof of our salvation is the fruit in which we produce. That's what Paul has said in Titus 2:14, that we are zealous for good works. So if our heart's desire is not to serve other people, then we have to see, do I have an alive heart in Christ or a dead heart? And maybe, if you say, well, wait a minute, I may be realizing here, I'm verses 1-3, that I'm not alive in Jesus. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. And maybe today at the end of our message, you need to say, God, I'm realizing my heart is dead. I'm not alive spiritually. And Lord, I want that changed. I want an alive heart. I want to be created in Christ and have this salvation that I find in verses 4-6. So if there's no desire to serve anyone ever, then examine your salvation and see if it is real in Jesus this morning. Because Paul says this is our purpose. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works in order to serve others, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he has built this argument. We were spiritually dead. We are now spiritually alive in Christ. God has created us for good works. And then notice, I love this part of the verse, that God has created beforehand opportunities for us to serve others so we just go out and walk in them. And just stop and think about that. I don't think we think about that in creation. That God in the past has said, I'm going to create opportunities for you to go out and serve others and do good works in my name. And that's amazing to me. And God's like, hey, I've laid out all these opportunities. Man, just go walk in them. Just go do them. Can I be real vulnerable with you? There are times when I feel called to do a good work, and there's times I'm so nervous to do that. You want to know the one thing that makes me more nervous than anything? It's meeting new people. And I know that sounds really weird being a pastor. I struggle meeting new people. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm kind of new, and we had some awkward conversations recently. You are not good at small talk. I'm really not. And so if you honestly give me the opportunity, you say, go stand in front of a couple of hundred people and talk to them about Jesus, or go talk to this one person you have just met about Jesus. Do you know which one I'm choosing? The couple of hundred. I'm like, man, put me in front of a crowd. But you go tell me to meet the new person that I've just met one-on-one about Jesus, I'm going to tell you, I get sick to my stomach, my hands start sweating, my heart starts beating, and I just want to, I don't mean to be like PG-13, I just want to go throw up in a trash can. But you're like, here's a group of people, stand up there and talk about Jesus. I'm like, got it all day long. That's my sweet spot. Yeah, that's me. And there's times I just get scared of doing stuff that God calls us to do. And I know it's what God wants to do. I know it's what he wants me to do. It's like, hey, here's a good work. Prepare beforehand. Just go walk in it. And I'm like, I don't know. And then I look around at things that we are praying about to do as a church by 2030. And I'm like, okay, as a church, we want to plant 4 churches. We want to disciple 350 people. We want to baptize 200 people. We want to start a Hispanic ministry. We want to do all this stuff. And I just look around sometimes, I'm like, God, I'm scared. I'm just scared about that. I mean, what if we only plant 2 churches instead of 4? What if we baptize 100 people instead of 200 people? What if we never start the Hispanic ministry? Like, and then I think about some of the space challenges we have as a church with our facilities. I'm like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, or I don't know how you're going to do this, or I don't know how you do this. And I just get scared, I get nervous, and Sandra's like, you're getting weird. I mean, you know, it's just like all these things within me. And then I remember this verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has laid out beforehand. Where he's like, just go walk in them. Just go do it, right? And so then I back up and I start thinking, okay, wait a minute. Then that means I'm here at Heights not by accident. You're here at Heights not by accident. The address of our church is not by accident. That God has outlined this and orchestrated all of this for us right now for such a time as this, to be here for this time, for this season, because he's laid out all these good works for us. He's like, hey, church, Heights, I've saved you for this. This is your purpose. Go serve others. Just go walk in it. Just go walk in it. Isn't that so freeing? Isn't that freeing to think about? Like, as nervous and scared as we get of stuff, God's like, whoa, hang on. I brought you all together here for this reason. Just go obey me and do those things. You know, when I was born in 1977, and I love my generation. I am a gap generation between Gen Xers and millennials. That's who my generation is. I'm a gap generation. And so I said, for those kind of born in the late 70s, we're really the best of both generations. We really are. There's like two of us in here that agree with us, but we are. We're the best of Gen Xers and we're the best of the millennials. So that means this, my generation is the last generation to grow up without the internet in the home and a cell phone in our hand. Like my childhood is distinct without a cell phone and without a computer in its house. That's mine. That's the last generation that had that. So that meant this, like you went and played outside. And my parents were like, you go play, and this is when you come home, when the street lights come on. The street lights come home, you better be home. Like that was the rule, all right? We got on our bikes, we went everywhere. There was no Life 360 on our apps. There was no GPS in us. We were just out, all right? When we went out and we were playing, we didn't carry our Stanley water bottles everywhere we went. And I'm not knocking those of you that do that. We just didn't have that ability. So when you got thirsty, you know what you did? You guys remember this. You turned on the water hose and you drank from it. And if there wasn't a water hose attached, you turned on the spigot and you stuck your head under and you drank from it. There was no going inside and getting juice boxes and Kool-Aids in my house. If I came back in early before the street light was on, I was told, get back outside and play. But growing up in the 80s and the early 90s was phenomenal because we had some cool action figures and cartoons. And here was my favorite growing up. It was He-Man. I had like all the He-Man toys. So when you look at this picture on the screen, there's He-Man. And I'm going somewhere with this. Hang in there. If you don't know the backstory of He-Man, let me just give it to you real quick. Is Prince Adam is Prince of Eternia. He is one day summoned to Castle Grayskull by the sorceress, and he is given powers to protect Eternia from Skeletor and all his evil henchmen. So now when Prince Adam holds up his sword and he says the magical words, I have the power, he transforms into He-Man. Now he becomes the strongest man in the universe, and he is able to defeat Skeletor and all of his evil plans. But here's the thing. He-Man was living off of borrowed power. See, He-Man didn't stay He-Man. He-Man turned back to Prince Adam. He wasn't possessed. He didn't indwell that power from the power of Grayskull. It was loaned to him. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That means as believers in Jesus Christ, the power in which we possess as believers is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That the power in which we possess is Holy Spirit power that has indwelt us, that is not on loan for us, that we do not give back. For now, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created for good works, empowered by his Spirit to go do the things that God has called us to do. Praise God, we're not He-Man. We are created in Christ in order and saved and empowered to serve others. Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This morning, your purpose is to serve as you have been saved and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, how are you and who are you serving at Heights Baptist Church? Who are you serving today within the context of our local church in order to love and lead all people to a new life with Christ? On the back tables this morning, we have these green booklets that outline all of our weekly ministries. These are opportunities for you to serve others within the life of our church. later today, I'll put on our Heights Facebook page a link that will take you to a form that will list out those ministries in which you're able to click and say, here's a way I want to serve others at Heights. We'll also email that link out to you. Who are you serving within the context of your local church in order to help them grow in their faith and bring others to faith? Let me ask you this as well. Who are you serving within the community? Who are you serving outside the walls of this church? Who's that person? And finally, this morning, if you died today and you stood before God, and God said, why should I let you in my heaven? Do you know that answer? And that answer you have, are you sure that's a biblical answer and the right answer? If God said, why should I let you into my heaven? What's the answer to that question going to be? See, in a moment, I'm going to pray. And at the end of that prayer, we're going to stand and sing. And then I'm going to invite you to come. And maybe today you say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I feel like I'm in verses 1-3, dead in my trespasses and sin and not alive together in Christ. Then I'm going to invite you during that song, you come talk to me. I'm going to have Brenda and Jody to my right. There's going to be another couple to my left. You can come talk to any one of us. You're not going to talk to anybody out there out loud. You're going to come right to one of us and say, listen, I don't know the answer, and I'm not sure I know the answer if I died today, why I would be led into heaven. You come during that song and let us know. We'll be happy to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe there's other prayer needs that you have. We'll be happy to pray with you during that time. Maybe it's to say, you know what? I do know Jesus, but I need to be baptized as a believer in Christ. We've got a baptism service next week, and we're baptizing young men. We'd love for you to be able to go public with your faith in that way as well. And so this morning, your purpose that God has made you for and saved you for is to serve others. Go do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, you know, the Bible calls us just to pray in our own words, in our own way. And so maybe you've never really prayed, or you say, I'm ready to place my faith in Christ, but I don't know what to say. Then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that you can follow along with me right where you are. And it's God that knows your heart. And so you can simply just bow in prayer and say, dear God, today I'm ready to place my faith and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You know, if you've prayed that prayer today, first and foremost, we are proud of you. We're excited that you're taking that step of faith, and we'd love to connect with you and follow up with you and just cheer you on in your journey now with Christ. And so you can connect with us by going to heightschurch.org/connect. Click the decision tab. That's going to bring up a form for you to fill out. That's going to come right to me. And we're going to be in touch with you to see how we can come alongside of you and encourage you. If you're in our area, we'd love to connect with you in person on a Sunday morning. Our life groups are at 9 a.m. and our worship service starts at 10:30 a.m. So we hope to see you soon, and we hope you have a great week. God bless.